you need to be. Amen. We all need help from the Lord with whatever we do. I remember the first time I helped pass out songbooks, and they were stacked to my chin, and I went, oh no. I was thinking I bit off more than I could hold, and I just was hoping I didn't spill all those books. What's the worst that can happen? You pick them back up. But you know, you just feel like you're on the world stage. 60 people there that night. I made it through, passed the test. Was I anointed? I doubt it. I was just scared. Glad to do the work of God. Whatever we do, we need God's help. Amen. Next Sunday is going to be a great service again. All lined out. And my wife and I are going to be gone. We're going to celebrate my dad's 90th birthday in Texas. And I was able to nab one of the camp speakers to be preaching next week. And so you're fortunate. And they're not going to have to drive far to get here. But Brother David Gomes will be preaching for us. And would that be awesome? I've got to, while I'm here, because I know he'll do a good job next week, but I've got to let you know a compliment that he received, that I received about them. And I always hear great things about the Gomes. And, of course, David and Lexi both have been involved in the campground for many, many years, and now they're married. And let me tell you what happens at the campground of all the things that happen. When you start helping out, they will use you and use you and use you. Not abuse you, but they will use you. And what they say about this couple is they are the hardest working couple that they've ever seen. That's what we hear. But here's the compliment. I have a friend of mine, Brother David Myers, pastors in Palm Bay, Florida. And they have two twins, and Luke and Gregory. And we can tell them apart if they tell us ahead of time. Identical twins. And Sophia, the daughter. And they are, David and Amy Meyer are great friends of ours. And we were talking the other day, and he said, my sons came back from camp, and there's, you know, camp speakers. You have your two camp speakers. You bring them in, fly them in, sometimes a named person, sometimes one that's needing to be known. They said, and they came back, and they said their favorite preacher was Brother David Gomes. Now, they flew people in, but he was their favorite preacher. And so I thought, hey, that's a compliment for Grace Point Church also. I was very proud, a very proud pastor. Those are the kind of things you want to hear about your folks. And we don't hear anything else but good things, so I'm good with that, and you are too. Amen. Well, the word of the Lord is it's what we're here for. We're here to lift him up, but then the word fills us and guides us. So let's get into the word. John 3:17, and of course, John 3:16 is the scripture everybody knows, but don't ever let those popular ones obscure something that has something in it for us also. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, everybody say through him might be saved. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. But it's through him. Every part of our effort today is managing the course that we're on through him. If we're trying to go around him or beside him, it won't work. We've got to go through Christ. Amen. Author, finisher of our faith. Father, we ask today that your blessings, your anointing would be on our ears and our hearts, and bless and anoint your word, oh God. Jesus, we pray that you would complete your work today that you have for this day. Lord, let all things fall into place for this day. Let someone find their answer this day. Lord, let your will prevail in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. And you may be seated. So the Bible tells us not to be conformed to this world. And we get that. We understand the dangers of this current world that's around us. And we understand why that the Bible expresses that we should not be conformed to this one. we're trying to line ourselves up by godly principles, and this world is not like that. And, really, the Bible says be conformed, or be transformed, not conformed. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. And so those things they can happen at the same time. And if you're conformed, you will not be transformed. So conformed is being pressed into the mold of something. And the Bible tells us that Paul was writing, and he said, be not conformed to this world. Don't let it press you into its mold, one translation says. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be formed, but transformed. And really all it takes is a breaking down of the process of growth for a person to begin dying spiritually. A breakdown in the growth process. I'll tell you, what we're doing here today, exuberant worship, this crazy running around, that's a part of the process. Yes. That's worship to God. That's us saying, I'm checking out of myself, and I'm getting into worship mode, and I'm giving it all to you, Lord. Yeah. Amen. I may not be that exuberant on the job or in the traffic jam, but at church, I'm going to give it all I got to Him. Right. What I'm saying is, I'm not being conformed to this world, but I'm working on being transformed. I'm letting God have His way in my life. I'm letting God prepare my heart for His Word so that I can hear it, but not just hear it, but engage it and let out the clutch and launch into first, second, third, fourth gear, and I can be transformed. I can let it do its perfect work in me. Amen. So, let me just pause and say something. Be careful that you don't get caught up in the political debris that flies around. Amen. It doesn't matter to me if you're a Democrat or a Republican or whatever else might be in between there. I don't tag people with what they are and what they believe. We all are conservatives in our belief. If you're a Christian, you are a conservative. But that really doesn't draw the right lines as far as what the political landscape says. And so if you hang your hat on a politician, and I understand politics, and I understand, to the degree that I do, but I mean, I know that we all, can get in heated arguments and debates about it. But if my life is about who I vote for, and I believe in voting, we got a great country, and we need to vote. Amen. Amen. And no matter who's in office, we are supposed to pray for our leaders. Amen. Amen. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That keeps you centered, doesn't it? But one of the things about politics, I'm not going to talk a lot about it today, but just one of the things about politics is that it can divide people so quickly. Yeah. Sitting in a waiting room, this is a couple of years ago, maybe 12, because I lose track. And we're sitting in that waiting room, and it's that awkward silence that I don't mind if it continues, because it's silence. And finally, there's like five people there, and finally this man had to speak up. And it was just boiling. He said, what about that speech last night? I tell you. I'm thinking, which way are you leaning on that speech last night? I don't know. I didn't hear it. And I'm wishing he would just back up and put it to rest. Because we're about to have somebody put down the gauntlet and say, there's what I believe. You've got people that are visiting sick people. I'm waiting to get into somebody's room to have prayer with them. And this man makes a statement. I thought, not here. Please, let's not talk about it here. It didn't turn out nasty. I don't remember anything else that happened. It may be because at that moment I felt like I needed to go wash my hands. Something like that. I agree. I mean, I'm happy with the things that make you happy. I'm glad that in Vice President Pence's office, there's a Bible study every week, apostolic Bible study in his office. I'm glad for that, but that doesn't make me say our government is going in the right direction on every front. No, it's just that's not where my passion is. My passion is the body of Christ. It's the church of the living God, and I pray for the leaders and say, God, have your way in their life and help it to change the course of our country in as much as is possible. Amen. But in this world we live, God, they taught me this when I was four. He's got the whole world in His hand. Yeah. Amen. I preached a message on that one time. Some of you may remember it, eons ago. And we gave little worlds out to everybody, little world keychains. See, if I hadn't have just mentioned that, we could do that again and it'd be cool. Forget I said it. We may pass out worlds one of these days. Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. One man, I'm going to make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Yeah. What we have here today was a promise that God put in the bosom of Abraham. We are blessed on down the line by what God did. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Yes. That was his nephew. His dad had passed. So his nephew Lot went with him. Sometimes we can have everything worked out. We can have everything all set in order. But then God just puts something next to you and says, I want you to do my will, but I'm giving you some help. Now, he may not have counted that or labeled Lot as help later on. But right now, he had to understand, just go with the flow. Because all these things are working out because God is the author and the finisher. Amen. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, the Bible could have told us more information. It could have said, and Lot went with him. And just so you know, it didn't turn out that great for Lot. But that ruins the story. I want to find that out later. Because God doesn't predetermine if we're going to lose or win. It's up to us right now. So see, Lot had not yet been given the choice. Which way do you want to go? Our cattle is too much, and the shepherds are getting in fights, and we got to divide because God's blessing us so much. Remember that story? And Abraham at the time said, Lot, you pick, and I'll take the leftovers. And Lot looked and at the well-watered plains of Jordan. Jordan's a river, well-watered plains, river going through it. That's the good land. And he looked at that, and I'm sure Abraham, when he saw him, he realized the leftovers is that dry, dusty, rocky, craggy land. But Abraham understood a promise. Everywhere you set your foot, I'm going to give it to you. I'll give it to you. And all it was is for his cattle to graze. And Lot took the good land, and Abraham, the man with the promise, said, I'll take the leftovers. I'm good with that. He didn't know that there would be a time shortly when Lot would move because he was facing Sodom. And he saw the comings and the goings of Sodom. He saw the economy, the busyness of Sodom. And Lot allowed Sodom to get into his pores of his skin. First, he shopped there. First, he went there for holidays. He went there for sales. He went there for, you know, sporting goods and things of that nature. He went there to get tools and get his axe sharpened. He went there to get new shovels. And before long, he's getting to know the people, and the people are getting to know him. And finally, he's one of the wealthiest men. He can afford to buy him a pretty nice house in Sodom. And he buys a nice house there, three stories. I'm making that up, but I'm just thinking, wow, that's what he should do. Enough to just have the house that when people walk in, they go, that's Lot's house. He's the guy that his uncle lives out there in that rocky place. Yeah, look at him. But the blessing now, remember, it's on Abram. Abraham's the one that God had blessed. Abraham obeyed the command. He left as God told him to leave. But each day drew him closer and closer to what would eventually turn out to be the plan of God in his life. See, Lot was just somebody that came along with him, possibly to say, don't go this way. Because God can do more with your desert than he can with Lot's well-watered plains. God can do more with what you don't have. And many times he will give you something that aggravates you. He will take you through a valley that causes you to wonder, where are you, Lord, and why haven't you answered my prayer? But look, you're praying. If he had given you the well-watered plains, you might be basking in the sun and sending out for all of your meals and not having to plant or not having to run a plow. But now Abraham was right in step with where God wanted him. And he was sitting in his tent that day. the front of the tent, you know, probably with a shade over, and his wife was in her tent, it said. The angels of the Lord came to talk to him. They had to tell him, the city over there is going to be destroyed because it's so wicked. Sodom, yeah. You need to get your people out, get your family out. And the angel of the Lord had that little bit of information. Also, your wife, Sarah, she's going to have a baby next year. And she had this, you know, one of them laughs that happens like in church when something's funny, and because it's in church, it's funnier than it would be if it wasn't in church. Folks, let me tell you something. I got pinched by my mom for those kind of laughs. Me and my friend would be sitting there, and funny things are funny in church times 10 when you're 10 years old. And you're trying to suppress it, and it's coming out your mouth, and you're shaking. You're shaking because you're laughing. It's fun, but I knew, oh, the reckoning is about to take place. Yeah. And if I'm sitting by mom, if she could get a hold of me, she might pinch me or snap her fingers, and it echoed through that church with the solid tile floors. You know, you could hear her snap, and you knew, you know, you learned to know your mom snap. And I would try to be so still and quiet. But it just, oh, it's church. And it's funny. Now let's go back to our biblical scene. Something about the angel of the Lord wasn't enough to amaze Sarah beyond the point of busting out with laughter when the angel of God said, she's going to have a baby this time next year, according to the time of life. And she just burst out. And the angel said, why did you laugh? She goes, I didn't laugh. He goes, oh, yes, you did laugh. Now, I don't believe the angel of the Lord was a grumpy, sad, dictator-looking guy. I think the angel of the Lord was enjoying this day. Let me tell you, this was a major day in heaven's portals, in heaven's hallways, this day when the Lord said, you go down there and you tell him that his wife's going to have a baby next year. Heaven was standing, if there's a balcony, and looking down and saying, let's watch what happens whenever she finds out that she, a barren woman, is going to have a baby next year. And they all looked at this. This was a grand occasion. And when she laughed, oh, she caught herself and denied it. There's no denying that you laughed. After all, look at you. You're this old, 90 years old, going to have a child. Yes, you are going to have a child. If you find ever that you're picking things up that you put back down one time, this ties in, hold on. If you ever find that you're picking something up that you put down, be careful. Because what you're picking up might create a problem with what God has promised that he's going to do for you. If you have a promise that hasn't been fulfilled, put everything back where you got it. If you didn't have it when God gave you the promise, you know what I'm talking about. There are some weights that we don't need to carry around. There's some things that encumber us that we don't need to pick up and walk with. If it slows you down, if it compromises your values, if it's against the word of God, you need to put it away and say, God, let your will be done in my life, because God can give you a whole lot more joy with his will than you with your toys. We need to obey God and listen to the Holy Ghost and put some things away in Jesus' name. I like being high on life. I mean, I like life being so good that you just float for a few minutes. I pastor a church, in case y'all didn't know, so you don't get to float all that much. Let me tell you something. God is able to keep that which we commit unto him against that day. I've committed this church to him, and I sometimes feel like I need to commit myself. But, you know, this is a good job. My wife and I have a good time doing this. We're not on the edge. We've been on the edge. Come back. We don't like the edge. I like there to be a handrail. Seriously, I don't like heights too much. But we enjoy doing this work. Amen. I mentioned the other day, I said, it's awesome that we're here. And my mother-in-law and her husband pastored here, and now she's here in this church. Sad circumstances, but thanks be to God that she's able to come and see that the work that they toiled in the 70s, 68 to 79, that work that they worked in is still going on. I'm glad the way God takes care of details. And the fact that we're at the same church, it was a hand of God completely. It's not something we aimed for, but that's one of those little things you just say, God, you're good at what you do. So my boss is the best boss in the world. He created the world, by the way. I love working for God. But even in this realm of working for God, if I pick up things that I committed to him and said, Lord, I will not touch that again, or I will not go there, or I will not think that, or I will not imagine that. If I go and start picking things up because, well, the weather picked up, things are a little better now, and you know, I think I'm in a better mood. I need to leave things that I've cast aside. I need to leave Haran and leave Haran in Haran and say, I'm not going back there. What Abraham did is when he left, yes, he brought Lot with him, but there's a day he said, you need to get out of my company and go your way because I have got to do the work of God. You choose, and I'll take the leftovers. And the leftovers were far greater blessings than what Lot chose. And that sad day that those angels had to go in there, the day that Sodom was being rained on with brimstone, Sodom and the little city of Gomorrah, and that angels went in there and they said, you need to get your whole family and let's go. And all he could get was two daughters and his wife, and his wife stopped and turned around. And the Bible said she looked back. What that means is she stopped and turned around as if to go back there because she said, I can't leave that city. Fire was falling and she wanted to go back in there. She turned into a pillar made out of salt. I've read the history on it, and it kind of goes here and there. But it said for at least 200 to 300 years, that statue was still in that valley. And people could come by and see it, and they would remember, that's Lot's wife. It wasn't a woman. It was just a block of stone. Shape, I don't know what shape it was. I doubt there was any facial features. I'm sure the elements and everything kind of eroded it, and I'm sure people come by and chip pieces off, you know, and sold it in the market, and some people chip pieces off of something else and said it was Lot's wife. You know how those things go. People been this way all their life. This isn't something we just come up with in this, you know, time of life. Since the world began, people made money off of whatever they could. So why isn't she there anymore? Well, I'm sure she was sold in yard sales and fairs and those sort of things. You don't have to even pay for that information right there. And a scholar would do what you did. They'd laugh at that. But, you know, just think about it. But being high on life, understand, I like to laugh, as you well know. And I like to have a good time. But I understand there's the need to moderate my behavior. I can't get to that place where I just say, let's just, what was that term in the 60s? Let it all hang out. That was, remember that? T-shirts? Well, in the 80s, it was the Fonz and things like that. Do you remember a T-shirt that had the Fonz picture and it just said, hey, you know, and he's like, and I saw a kid wear one of them one time and I thought, that's sad. It just says, hey. But that's when people are happy about demonstrating something that they like. Nothing wrong with the T-shirt. I just thought, ooh, Mom, I'm glad you didn't buy that for me because I wouldn't have wore that. It's just one of those quirks, you know, little things come by. In this story right here, folks, the things that get a hold of us, the things that excite us, the things that get us up and down, we have to moderate ourselves in this world. We can't ride the wave forever. We go to birthday parties and we say happy birthday to you and we sing happy birthday. And that's awesome. But the next day, it's not their birthday anymore. You know, because it's just one day. Unless you was born right there in the husband, you got to pick a day. We celebrate days. We celebrate Christmas. And the Lord's not going, thank you so much. No, he would rather us repent. Because heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. The Bible never said heaven rejoices over Christmas decorations and songs and all of that. But that's for us. That's for us. I'm not against it at all. But I'm saying we catch waves and we get excited and we get emotional. But in the midst of all of that, we've got to be anchored to our calling and make it sure. Our election and our calling has to be solid. We have to stand on that rock that is Jesus Christ. Stay grounded in the truth, amen, that your body is a temple all the time. You need to let that truth ground you, that this body is a temple. This is what God wants to dwell in, and he wants me to walk right and live right. And so that my highs can't be too high, my lows can't be too low. I've got to stay in the lane that God put me in, and I've got to travel that path. We all have to do this, but if we get caught up in something that takes us away from the will of God, then we're out of reach and out of touch. Be careful for those kind of things that take you away from the kingdom. You'll be compromising your values. There are things that don't belong in the kingdom of God. And I said this last night as I was toiling over this. I woke up this morning, my wife said, what are you preaching? I said, I don't even know. It's a mess. As you can tell, probably. It's just, and I told the guys in there, I said, I've got to work on this because it's just, I thought I had it and it's just nothing. It's just not there anymore. But here's the point. We have got to keep our eyes on the prize and not get caught up in this world. Not get caught up in this world. Stay grounded in truth so that your body is a temple all the time. 24/7, my body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. All the time, all the time. We don't take breaks. We don't clock out of being a child of God. It's every day, all day. Listen, it's crazy to think that we could just walk out there and enjoy sin for a few hours and then walk right back into the kingdom and say, all right, where were we? We've got to stay right all the time. It's 24 hours a day. It's 7 days a week. And if I slip, if I fall, if I go down to another level, I better say, God, will you forgive me for what I did? And I got to get back up where I was as quick as I can, because the enemy's watching me. He's watching you. He's looking for something he can hold over your head and make you feel like you're a nobody. But Jesus is saying, you are mine. I bought you with blood. I put my spirit inside of you. You need to live for me. You need to worship me. You need to know that I reached down to pick you up. I'll do it again. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that. His mercy is everlasting. But our understanding of his mercy, our belief in his mercy, is not everlasting. There's a place where we can get, or we will overdraw our account. God's mercy is big. But we will overdraw our account and we will find ourselves stranded, empty tank, because we know very well what we did to get ourselves in the fix that we're in. Church, I'm trying to warn us. Moderate your behavior. Keep Jesus in the center at all times, at all times, at all times. And this is what I was about to say a while ago and I interrupted myself. But I promise you, this is the last sermon like this in a while. Someone said the other day, you've been kind of on a path here. You know, it's not accidental, but nor is it intentional by me. I promise you, it's not. God is trying to do something. He's trying to do something. Folks, I wish I could just, not for a long time, but just let you feel the burden of this. Just for a little while, to know I'm not picking on anybody. Wouldn't be a bad thing if I was, but I'm not picking on anyone. I'm not trying to point somebody out. I'm trying to preach the burden that God has put on my heart, and it's been going on for about 2 months. The things I've been teaching on Wednesday, the things we've been preaching every Sunday, it's a burden that's been pressing me, and I cannot. The writer said, I tried to forbear, and I could not. I tried to back up and get another direction, but I couldn't go there. I had to preach what God lays on my heart, and he's saying, church, it's time to quit playing games and making a mockery out of the mercy of God. We got to turn around and go the right direction and repent from what we've been doing. Lord Jesus, let your word sink in our heart, God. Lord, let your word sink in our heart. No, these aren't the fun Sundays. It'll be later, but the wait, and I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to let you understand. This is not my design. If I could have chosen what I want to be in life, I think I'd have been a stand-up comedian because people laugh all the time. And if they're going to laugh at you, give them a reason to laugh. But I'm not. Thank God his hand's on our life. Galatians 4:9, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God. I love that wording. Or rather are known by God. How is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? All right. The apostle is saying, you all have been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, spake in tongues, delivered from the old paths. All right. But now you're desiring to make a show of your religion. And likely, they were going back and making sacrifices. They were going back and offering blood sacrifices and animals. Going back to the old law, because there was plenty of people, plenty, the majority were still worshiping like that. He says, you're going backwards. God has delivered you. How is it that you're turning to the weak and the beggarly elements? That's the old law. Something new is taking place. The angel said, Abraham, things are about to change. Your wife's barren, but that promise you're going to be the father of many nations, you truly are going to be the father. Stars of the heavens, sands of the sea, earthly heritage, heavenly heritage. Sarah laughed, and the angel said, I heard that. But she had a child next year, and there's Isaac. And there's Isaac. And then I wondered if Lot had not come with him, what would his decision have been? The angels may have had to go get Abraham out of Sodom. Because there was no signs there. Just Lot wasn't disobeying God by going there. It just said that city was wicked. City was wicked. But righteous Abraham, the Bible called him righteous Abraham, took Lot, and Lot said, I'll go that way. Perhaps, just as surmising, blocking the access that Abraham would have. And so he went the other way and saved his family. He turned down that because he told his nephew, you do what you want to do, and I'll take leftovers, because you'll always be ahead of the game by choosing leftovers that God anoints than the best that man can ever give you. God can take scraps and build a nation out of it. He can take a fatherless man, childless woman, or rather a childless husband and wife, and he can make a nation out of them, because he can perform a miracle in the womb of that one that was dead, the Bible calls him. The deadness of Sarah's womb. It was faith that Abraham continued to believe. I'm going to have a child. She's old, I know, but I continue to believe. No, Ishmael's not the one. Ishmael's just going to be a splinter in your skin. God will bless him. Yeah, you messed up. He'll bless Ishmael, the son with the bondwoman. But no, those are two natures of mankind. But now, after you've known God, or rather known by God, how is it that you turn to the beggarly elements? Lord, help us today that we not turn back and dabble in something we've been delivered from. Paul is telling those Galatians about him going back to that old law. Instead of creating a trophy case of blessings by God through the power of the Holy Ghost, some people would rather embrace this current world, this present world. But if you stay on the path of righteous living, God will give you a trophy after a trophy. He will answer prayers after prayers. But we got to turn our hearts around to Him. I say this with a little bit of fear. Because I feel like today, after weeks, I'm delivering my soul. I'm delivering my soul. Now, it's up to God. I wish you knew how serious this is right now. Here's the point, really, of the last several weeks of this kind of preaching and teaching. I'm reading my notes because I wrote this morning. God is reaching for some who have walked so long on the edge and lived double lives that now you feel like that's just what you need to do because you're unique, you're different. I can't help but feel that God's given somebody another chance. Romans 3:18, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Because I ask myself the question, how do people live like that? And I'm not talking about an individual, I'm talking about people. Because God has laid this on my heart. Amen. See, here's the thing that a message from the Lord does, if we count it as from God, and I know you do. I know you all are very respectful. Is we always in our minds kind of have this idea that there's a target. Yeah, there most likely is. But understand, there's so many degrees. You've seen a target, a dartboard, bullseye, and then there's all those outer rings. You may be way out there. But in our heart, you see, the Bible says Lot, he turned towards Sodom. He turned and he aimed his tent towards Sodom. He was still Abraham's nephew. He was still living off the abundant blessings of his uncle Abraham. But he turned his tent towards Sodom. Wasn't in the bullseye, but he turned his tent there. Went there and picked up some parts for his tractor, you know. On and on. He turned his tent towards Sodom before he ever lived there. But when you go there and you go, this is nice and I didn't get struck by lightning. Go back to the tent. This tent's hot. This tent's uncomfortable. Think I'll go back to the mall over there in Sodom. You know, I'm just telling you, it doesn't happen overnight. It happens step by step by step. And before long, they're in Sodom, and he realizes, and here's where we really get a wake-up call, that the angels of the Lord went there to save him. And the men of the city came to the door and said, send those men out to us. We want to know them. That's how bad that city had gotten. And it didn't say that Lot put his hand over his mouth and said, oh my goodness, I can't believe that's happening. Instead, he said, let me send my daughters out there. Take my daughters. No, we want them. And those angels reached their hand out and smote all those men with blindness. Yeah. It was temporary. Because tomorrow you're going to die. It's just, you know, we're taking care of it tomorrow. That was so that Lot could understand this is serious right now. We got to turn. And we got to get out of the house. And we've got to get out of the city. And his wife followed him for a while until she stopped because it was in her heart. It was so much in her heart that she would go back into danger again. That to me tells me how sin can get embedded and make somebody feel like it's owed to them and it's something they have to have. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm closing. Let's stand. Romans 6:19 says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The end of those things is death. The end of those things is spiritual death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. That's what I'm in this for right there. Dear God, I want everlasting life. I will sell out and again and again and again. The world has got no hold on me. I've been delivered. Hallelujah. It has no hold. We've got to denounce the hidden things of the heart. We've got to say, devil, you don't have any right to me anymore. You need to just take a hike and get behind me, because I'm willing and ready to turn around my heart and serve the living God. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Lord. So the point of my title is this. We're not just trying to get there with Him, but we got to go through Him. Through Christ. Through Christ. Through Christ. We got to go through Him. Through Him. Have to. We got to go through Him. What's keeping you from bringing those kids to church? You need to take inventory. They're watching the patterns. They're watching the behavior. Those kids are writing a program in their brains of how to live their life when they watch mom and dad. They're programming themselves. Your reactions, your passions, they're programming themselves. And the thought may be, what have we got ourselves into? No point in trying to paint it another color, make it palatable. The good news is this. The good news is this. All we got to do is turn and walk away from it. Turn our hearts towards God. And say, sin has got no hold on me. Sin has no hold on me. Oh God, Lord, in your name today, in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, I don't know. I do not know who I'm preaching to. Lord, I know we got a great church. But oh God, I know as a pastor that you have been dealing with me for weeks. And we've preached on holiness standards and walls of identity. Lord, this has been all in your hands. And that I know very well. But oh God, I pray, Lord, complete the work that you've begun in us. Somebody needs to find a place to pray. You may need to just pray, say, God, don't let me get to that point. Don't let me get to that point. Lord, keep our family together. Keep us, Lord, safely in your hands that I don't get to that point. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Friend, I would be afraid. I would be afraid to leave here without repenting today. I would be afraid to do that. When I say repent, not saying, God, forgive me, but the word repent means to turn yourself around. And God knows your heart. He knows your words. He knows what you mean to say. He knows what you're going to do. We need to bind ourselves to Him. Bind ourselves to Him. Oh, holy God. Oh, let's talk to Him, church. Let's talk to Him. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. I think it'd be good if we gathered down here. Sneak in amongst everybody. Oh, holy God, holy God, holy God.